Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. Welcome in. This should be a lot of fun. Really should. In a Twitter thread last month, followed by a subsequent double down on a take just days later, Draymond Green said that professional female athletes need to stop complaining and think of more effective ways to bring in revenue to their leagues and thus boost their pay. Listen to Draymond Green.
I'm really tired of seeing them complain about the lack of pay because they're doing themselves a disservice by just complaining.
They're not just complaining, really.
But they are, because they're not laying out steps that they can take to change that. And so it's coming off as a complaint, because the people that can change it, they're just going to continue to say, well, the revenue isn't there. The revenue isn't there. So if you don't bring in the revenue, we can't up your pay. They're going to keep using that. But the reality is, as true as that is, it's an excuse, because everyone says, we support women. We support women empowerment. We support women in the workplace. We do this for women. We do X for women, blah, blah, blah. And everyone uses it to their advantage. Yet these women are not using these people that are saying those very things to their advantage. So then it just becomes a complaint that falls on deaf ears.
Okay, so when you listen to that, my quick takeaways are that he's actually supporting women and their desires to get more pay. But what happens is, because you hear in a short snippet complaining, and complaining becomes a trigger word, people only react to complaining. First of all, to me, whether women complain or don't complain about the desire for equal pay, it doesn't matter to me. The problem with it is there has to be a reality behind all of their arguments. And that's what Draymond's sort of there, but really not there. He's like, well, that's what they're going to keep saying, because that's the reality of it. The reality of it is no one's going to pay you more money if they're not making money themselves. There isn't a business. This is the problem with all of these arguments, make no sense. I'm told by other people in my industry that college athletics is a business. Okay, if it's a business, then they wouldn't have any other sport other than men's basketball and football, and occasionally women's basketball. For the most part, most of them lose money a lot. Some of them lose a lot of money. College baseball is much the same. A lot of them lose money. Some of them break even. Very few, small minority of them make money. So if you say, hey, we're only doing money makers, there's a lot of women's basketball programs and baseball programs and wrestling programs and soccer programs. They are not, that is not how you run a business. Do you guys know the company Cole Haan? You know Cole Haan? Remember when you were kids, like Cole Haan's like, man, Cole, you have the Cole Haan's. Like, my dad was a Florsheim guy, which is the level below. It's like, if Cole Haan is Banana Republic, it's like Gap. Right? It's not quite Old Navy, but it's like Gap. So Cole Haan, going back, I'm going to say like 20 years ago, Nike bought Cole Haan. And they bought it so they could get kind of into the dress shoe market. And they smartly, if you ever had a pair of Cole Haans, they like put the aerosol into the Cole Haans. Now, I don't know if you know this, but also Nike got some of their patents from Cole that they could use from Cole Haan, and they could use it within their own shoes. But the big thing was, like, you saw a lot of guys start rocking Cole Haans, but like, man, they got an aerosol in them. These are super light and comfortable, and they're not even like dress shoes. Did you know that Nike sold Cole Haan? Do you know why? It wasn't because they wasn't making money. Nike wants every part of their business making growing at a rate of 12% per year. I think Cole Haan was like at 8%. That's how you run a business. And so they sold it. They made money on it, but it wasn't making enough money on the daily basis. So they sold it to make some money on the purchase and to get it off their books. So again, if you're going to tell me that college athletics is a business, that's fine. Okay, but they don't pay taxes and they carry dead weight of parts of the business that don't make any money. They just lose money, and those wouldn't actually exist. Okay, now the same works for women's professional sports. I'm not going to dispute what women should and shouldn't make. Women's tennis players, you know, like the whole argument was how long are they playing? Like, look, if the sponsorship dollars are equal or greater than that of the men's tennis, because there have been times in which women's tennis has been more popular and in some eras than men's tennis. If that's the case, then they absolutely deserve to get more money. Absolutely. I am Noah's and the women's professional basketball players. If WNBA teams make more money, okay, generate more net revenue, not gross, net revenue, then the women should get paid more. And this is basic cause and effect. And the same thing goes for the women's national soccer team. Like, I've seen that, well, look at how much more we made here. Like, yeah, it was a World Cup year. On the other years, you don't make nearly as much money. The men generate more money. They actually get a smaller piece of the pie. It's just a much bigger pie. So Megan Rapinoe, who, of course, very outspoken star player for the women's national team, during a call Wednesday with reporters, she says that Green's take on the gender pay cap was disappointing. It's really unfortunate, somebody in Mr. Green's position, having all the resources that he has and the ability to have a much more educated opinion, that he just doesn't. That's frustrating. That's the take you have. You obviously showed your whole ass, not even understanding what we talk about all the time, WNBA players and us on the national team, and what Sue Bird said, you tagged the wrong people. You don't think we asked for more money? I mean, what are we screaming about nonstop? Now, again, you're not listening. Women always say that to guys. They'll be like, you're not listening to me. You're not listening to me. Huh? What'd you say? I wasn't listening to you. Anyway, like, Megan Rapinoe's not actually listening. He's not saying don't ask for more, like, ask for more money. He's saying find ways to make more money for your bosses, for your team, and then you will get more money because more money equals more revenue. You're worried about the wrong things. Very true. Crazy true. You can tell me, like, what's fair and what's not fair. Like, look, you're not going to win any argument over what's fair and what's not fair when somebody opens the books and is like, wait, this makes 10x to your X. But do you want to be paid a level commensurate with 10X? Like, that doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. The employees fighting for more money over the employers is a tale as old as time. It happens in every business. And you sit there going, like, we make how much? And I get paid how much? Well, that doesn't make sense. And so you can go across the street to a competitor. You can start your own thing. Like, there's a bunch of different deals. I mean, the reason NBA players and WNBA players don't start their own leagues is because it costs too much money and it bankrupted by the time they ever got it started. Besides, the other leagues already have the TV deals and everything else, all and the arenas, everything else wired. Like, Megan Rapinoe, no one's saying that you're not. This is like I was watching the Women's National Championship the other night. And I was like, man, this is a great game. They're fun, good games. Just not as many people care or watch. So there's not the sponsorship revenue. So you don't get the money. So you actually lose money in the event. So it's not as well supported because that's how you do things.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted 99% of the places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. Dan Beyer. Dan, if you're busy, just go like, I'm busy. Leave me alone.
I'm here.
So Dan is he's a very good golfer. He's a huge golf fan. and he's going to take tomorrow off just to watch golf. So paint me the picture of what your setup's going to be at the Palatial Estate, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to do your, I know you like to work in the garden. Are you going to do that to fulfill any of your time, or are you just simply couching it all day?
Yeah, there it will be a couch all day. And because, you know, the Masters, a lot of people like to complain because of the limited window that they have on, you know, over the broadcast signal.
TV, yeah.
Yeah. I will be up in the morning. Got up this morning, watched the featured groups on Masters.com, and you can toggle between Amen Corner and 15 and 16. So I'll do that from about 7 o'clock local time here on the West Coast all the way up until the broadcast coverage will start at noon local. And then here's the tricky thing about it is because the broadcast will sometimes take shots from those different holes that I mentioned or feeds. So you may see it first on your laptop or iPad or whatever, and then the broadcast may bring it to you. So you kind of double up there, but I'll have the TV and then I'll have the iPad going when the broadcast coverage starts at noon. I actually did sign up for the 7-day free trial of Paramount Plus yesterday, because then you can get the featured groups on our TV. So that's what I watched this morning.
Okay, so is this your favorite sporting event?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it really is. And when it comes down to it, like, to not be able to have this would be, and I mean even thinking, like, even more than Super Bowls, I'm thinking that this would take the nod on it.
Really?
Yeah. I'm taking like favorite teams out of it, you know, as well, like, just because it's, but yeah, if I could only watch one sporting event, it would probably be this.
Okay. Why?
There's just so much about it. Just how perfect the place is. Even yesterday I was telling my wife, we were watching something on Golf Channel, and I go, you know, that's real. That's not like computer generated. Like, that's how it looks. Now the camera angles may be a little different, but
it's not like was it Khloe Kardashian who somebody took a shot of, and like, this is Khloe Kardashian, no filter, and then Khloe Kardashian filters, like, they look amazing. It's not like the Instagram people that everybody looks beautiful on, right?
Yeah. Yes. It truly is. I mean, it's great.
So like right now I'm watching on ESPN's coverage, and that is Azalea, right? Which is what they're showing.
This is Golden Bell. This is the par 3 12th.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is unique. For those that have never been to Augusta, what you don't realize is where the patrons are sitting behind the 12th tee. It's actually the most difficult spot to see where the ball lands, because the hole's 150 yards away. And the pros and all the players will say that this is their favorite spot on the course, is 12th green and 13th tee, because
there's nobody there.
Yeah, just away from everybody in your own, you know, you're in your own little magical world. But you can't see, like, Justin Rose just put one within like 6 feet.
Yeah,
you can kind of tell it's close, but you can't tell exactly how close it is from how far. Just like when you and I are playing, if you're looking, you're like, oh man, that's really close. And then you get up to the green and it's, you know, 15 feet away. And you're like, oh, I thought it was a little bit better than it was. That's kind of what those patrons have to deal with on 12.
And then the body of water behind it.
Yeah, that's Ray's Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah, R-A-E, not R-A-Y, but R-A-E.
Why is it not Crick? It's in Georgia. Why is it not a Crick? Why is it a Creek?
I'm not sure. I go back and forth. Like, my aunt and uncle have a Crick in their backyard, but this is Ray's Creek. Yeah.
Yeah, but they also say worse your clothes too. They worse your clothes, and that's Ray's Creek. Ray's Creek.
One of the things, and golf fans will know this, is that where Amen Corner is, it also borders the Augusta Country Club, which is on the other side. And so throughout the years, at times, Augusta National Golf Club has purchased land from the Augusta Country Club to expand the 13th hole, to move the tee back, and they recently did it again. But one of the stories that I read, maybe on Golf Digest or maybe even in a book, that they have a gate there, but there are two locks to the gate. One where Augusta Country Club holds the key and one where Augusta National holds the key. That was the case. You know, I'm not sure if that's still the case now, but so if that gate is going to be open, you got to have both parties willing to open. This, obviously, more exclusive than Augusta Country Club, but That's the situation. You can actually see Augusta Country Club sometimes in shots through the trees a little bit. Like if you think it's a different hole, you can actually see a little bit. But
so Doug Gottlieb Show, Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's Dan Beyer with the. It's fascinating. But again, like this is your thing. I love it. I love hearing the excitement in your voice. Some people's thing is the NFL draft, and like. That's their thing. They can't wait. They will for the whole weekend, and they're sure they know who a great player is or whatever. Mm-hmm. I read this story where Robert Kraft told the media last week, the teams who draft well are the ones who'll be consistently good. I don't feel like we've done the greatest job the last few years. I really hope and believe I've seen a different approach this year. Did you see this report that Sports Illustrated reported that Bill Belichick ignored scouts who were higher on Deebo Samuel and A.J. Brown? Instead, he drafted N'Keal Harry, 32nd overall.
Yeah, I did see it. I didn't read it, but I saw the headline.
Well, the one of the things I think that Belichick does, which has benefited him some and some it's to his own detriment, is he has a couple of guys that he kind of believes in, right? Urban Meyer, he drafted a bunch of Urban Meyer's guys. He drafted a bunch of Greg Schiano's guys, you know, and then I think it's, you look at Arizona State when they had N'Keal Harry, everybody on that staff is a pro guy, right? Not just head coach, but everybody, they're all pro guys. And I'm guessing that they're like, coach, this guy, he's a dude, you know, whereas a Deebo Samuel was, you know, there's a guy who slipped through the cracks. I mean, imagine if they had him or had A.J. Brown, it's completely different. And it continues they're bad at evaluating wide receivers, but it's not apparently not the scouts. The scouts nailed it. The coach didn't. You know, and this is one of those absolute power can corrupt absolutely, because as much as Belichick should be able to see the traits that he wants, like, look, he doesn't study these guys year round. And oh yeah, by the way, if you've been this bad at drafting wide receivers throughout your tenure, why would you continue to make the selections yourself? It's fascinating that the Patriots have been as good as they've been, considering how poorly they've drafted at a position like wide receiver.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Antonio Daniels joins us, NBA champion, 13-year NBA veteran. Of course, he's also the color analyst for the New Orleans Pelicans TV network. He joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Okay, so you saw the Nets last night. And obviously, Kyrie just doing ridiculous stuff. Do you think that they can win in the playoffs with the type of offensive weaponry they have and yet the obvious notable flaws defensively they have?
Yes, I do. You know, my SiriusXM show just ended, Doug, and I said on my SiriusXM show, I think this Brooklyn Nets team has the most firepower in NBA history. And I stand by that. You have the three best one-on-one players in the league right now, all on the same team. And when you take those three away, then you add in a LaMarcus Aldridge, though at the end of his career still effective, a Blake Griffin, though at the end of his career still effective, and a Joe Harris. Yeah, it's very difficult for me to see a Philadelphia 76ers team the way currently constructed, a Milwaukee Bucks team the way currently constructed, even the Los Angeles Lakers team the way currently constructed, to defeat this Brooklyn Nets team 4 out of 7 times.
Yeah, I guess the question is going to be defense, though. Doesn't defense, you were part of a championship team, championship culture, doesn't defense win championships?
You know what, Doug? We are in a different NBA. Defense is not, it's not what it once was, and no disrespect to anyone. We don't, the league, there are certain things in this league that were once valued that aren't valued anymore. You think about it. Someone like Andre Drummond, who was probably the best rebounder on the league, was sitting the bench in street clothes for the Detroit Pistons and then the Cleveland Cavaliers. You think of someone like Hassan Whiteside, who was a shot blocker and rebounder, signed a minimum contract with the Sacramento Kings. So the things that were once valued in the NBA aren't valued the same. You know what I mean? Who is this Bruce Bowen or Tony Allen? Who are those guys in today's NBA when we talk about defense? With the way that the rules are, where you can't touch guys. You can't even really contest guys' shots without it being a flagrant foul. So my question would be, I understand we can talk about defense. Daryl Morey said it best years ago. This is the arms race. And what the Brooklyn Nets did is they accumulated as much firepower as possible. That's going to be hard to defeat come playoff time.
You get a chance to see Zion every day, and the numbers, obviously, that we see are spectacular. Obviously, the finishes are incredible. But what about everything else? The defense, his body, his jump shooting. How is he progressing in those areas?
Okay, so the question, you say his body. What about his body?
Well, just the question was always, could his body not break down, right? And what's the playing weight? Does he look? Because there were times last year where he was playing like look as sharp. But, now look, I've seen him in person. Go ahead.
Okay, but the thing is, Doug, we continue to go to this narrative about Zion, and we keep talking about last year. When this year, there's been no issues, obviously, with his body. He's playing in back-to-back. He's playing, 34 minutes a night. We can go back to last year and create a narrative about anything. Because last year, he came in, and he was on a minutes restriction for a lot of the season. Then the season was suspended. He came back. He was in a bubble. Then had to leave the bubble for a good amount of time, and then he returned back. So we never saw Zion at full strength last year. But now coming into this year, being completely healthy, yeah, not on the minutes restriction, playing in back-to-back, we see what that looks like. And when we talk about his jump shot, that's going to come in time. But the argument that I make with Zion a lot of times is the argument that I made with Shaquille O'Neal. And obviously there's a difference in size, but dominance is the same. Why would I shoot a jump shot if you can't stop me from getting where I want to go? He's leading the NBA right now in points in the paint every night. And teams are scheming to stop him every night. They know what's coming, but to know what's coming and stop what's coming is different. And I think Rick Carlisle paid him the best compliment. He said he's the Shaquille O'Neal force of nature with a point guard skill set. Think about that. If you let that kind of marinate for a minute, what that looks like in a player.
Yeah, but like, look, as we've seen with the Ben Simmonses, and I understand, different player. I completely get it. Okay, different level of explosiveness. But when as tight as the officiating is in the regular season, it gets different in the postseason. And look, in order for LeBron to become a mega superstar and win championships, it's been confidence in his jump shot. And again, I understand they're different players. But you have to be able to shoot the basketball once it gets more physical, and in the playoffs they can set their matchups a little bit better to you. I fully understand that he's a game-changing athlete, and why take a mid-range pull-up when you can get to the rim? But I'm asking in terms of you're watching him and evaluating him, is he improving at the proper rate to where ultimately it'll get there?
Yes, because the thing with Zion now that you didn't see last year is he's actually, when he does shoot that three-point shot, he is shooting it without hesitation. And that's my big thing. Last year he didn't really take very many of them. He doesn't take a whole lot of them now, but when he's shooting them now, he's shooting them without hesitation. His free throw has improved. He's up over 70% now from the foul line. So, and again, we're talking about a young man, Doug, that he's only played 70 games total. And I know it seems like he's been in the league for longer because that 70 games has come over three different stints. But we're talking about a young man that's played 70 games, and probably 20 of those 70 games that we're talking about, 15 to 20 of those games have been under a minutes restriction. So, yeah, he has the work ethic. He has a great shooting coach in Fred Vincent. And you are starting to see some of that play itself out, knocking down that three-point shot. He doesn't shoot it at a rate like everyone else does because he doesn't have to yet. But when I interviewed Zion last week, one of the things he talked about was coming back a different player next year and wanting to add something different to his game. And he referenced that, the ability to shoot the basketball.
It's all going to come down to how hard he works at it, because he's got so much incredible talent. Antonio Daniels joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Okay. Let's say the Lakers are back healthy and whole. They're going to be the favorite. They're so good defensively. We don't know about Anthony Davis, but we can assume that he'll be back for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. If you were a betting man, who's the biggest challenger to the Lakers specifically, not just because how good they are, but because of the matchup?
Are you talking about in the Western Conference or
yes,
as a whole?
Western Conference.
toughie. That's a tough. You know, it's amazing, Doug, because I don't think that we give Utah the credit that they deserve.
Sure.
You know, how often does a team win 21 out of 22 games and they're not in the championship conversation? So I think with Utah, it comes down to a point where they have to prove it come playoff time. And for me, it's always been the Clippers. And I know it sounds crazy to say because Paul George has underachieved come playoff time, but out of everybody in the Western Conference, all of these teams that we talk about that may be a threat to LeBron and the Lakers, there's only one guy that has beat LeBron on that big stage, and that's Kawhi Leonard. And that, for me, LeBron James, the same way they said Michael Jordan may have had a mental advantage over so many different guys.
Sure.
LeBron James may have that mental advantage over a lot of guys, but there are certain guys in this league that have beat them on that bigger stage, and he does not have that mental advantage. Kevin Durant has done it. Steph Curry has done it. Kawhi Leonard has done it. So honestly, I would say the way currently constructed, if there is a team in the Western Conference that can beat the Lakers, I've got to go with the Clippers, not just because of Kawhi Leonard, but also the experience in adding Rajon Rondo as well.
Doug Gottlieb's show here on Fox Sports Radio. I love the Rondo edition, and I'm not the biggest Rondo guy, but I know enough people in the league who've been around him. They're like, he's brilliant, and it's exactly what the Clippers needed, right? Like, they need an alpha point guard to keep everybody in line, and in the meantime, like, as much as everybody likes Lou Williams, Lou's about Lou and getting buckets, and that's not what they need. They needed what Rondo provided. It was a really interesting trade.
Right, and I love the trade. You know, I think Denver obviously won during the trade deadline. I feel like Chicago won eventually during the trade deadline, and I think that the Clippers got exactly what they wanted. Kawhi Leonard has been saying for quite some time now, I want a traditional point guard because he doesn't want to have to initiate the offense and finish the offense. Sometimes you need a guy that can initiate the offense, that can put the pieces of the puzzle together, that understand time, score, situation, what's needed and when it's needed. And Rajon Rondo is that guy, and he's a champion. He's proven. He's battle-tested. He's been here before. So there's not going to be a situation that the Clippers experienced that Rajon Rondo has not seen or been through. I love the addition.
What's the likelihood the Warriors get back to being competitive atop the league? Like, Klay's coming off a knee and an Achilles. And look, I know it's never been about his explosiveness athletically, but right. God, it's a lot, right? And they're struggling to find that fourth guy. Like, I like Wiseman, but it makes him play very different. What are your thoughts? When you watch the Warriors, what are your thoughts on the possibility they get back to that level of competitiveness?
I'm at a point now where I feel like we have to readjust our goggles to the Golden State Warriors. They had a great five-year run, and they have the best shooting backcourt in history. That's undeniable. No one can take that from them. They won three championships. You cannot take that from them. But where they are now, and not in particular where they are now, where the rest of the league is right now, we have to stop looking at Golden State like that team that won 73 games and like that team that won three championships. They're not that same team anymore.
Right.
You know, the league is getting better. You look at some of the teams in the Western Conference in particular that are younger and that are growing. You look at teams like Denver. You look at teams like Utah, who is the most road-defined team in this league. The Clippers, the Lakers. There was a time where Golden State was sitting atop this league, and it was unfair. It was unfair what Golden State had with those two guys, that shooting backcourt, with Kevin Durant, with Draymond Green. Now we have to readjust our goggles to who Golden State is today. And right now, I don't see that team being the championship team right now. I don't know. They draft well, and they've done it well. They've done it organically by drafting Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and James Wiseman. I get it. And a lot of it depends on James Wiseman's progression. But right now, I'm not at a point where I view the Golden State Warriors, as a championship team right now, especially in the Western Conference.
Telling you the best, man. Appreciate you joining us. Thanks for joining us right after your show. And let's keep in touch. We'll talk to you very, very soon.
For sure. Appreciate you, Doug. God bless you, brother.
All right, same to you. That's Antonio Daniels, who is a great guy, was a tremendous player. And he does a really good job. Now, he used to cover the Thunder. Now he covers the Pelicans, as well as he has his own basketball radio show at A Daniels 33.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. We got some good stuff here. Yesterday it was so funny. Yesterday we talked about favorite cheeses, right? You guys all you're sitting there going, "Oh, we're not going to do the cheese thing again." I'm like, "No," but I went to the grocery store today and I walked up on the cheese aisle. I'm like, "Man, there's so many cheeses I forgot to mention yesterday." Byer, did you have that experience? Where you're just like, "I can't believe I forgot that cheese yesterday. I wanted to mention Havarti and I forgot. I wanted to mention." Did you have cheese flashback?
I did not, but I will say because of our cheese conversation, I made sure that I threw some Parmesan on the flatbread pizza that we made last night.
Pizza. Did you make the flatbread yourself? Like, is it your own dough recipe?
No, this was in a cardboard box that opened the box and cut it out, but did add some Parmesan on top.
All right, so, I mean, it's kind of DIY.
DISY, do it somewhat yourself.
So tomorrow you're mentioning you're sitting down. Okay. Did you mention, are you going to do Mountain Dew? Like you wake up in the morning and
no,
Byer.
And I've tried to put
Byer.
Tried to take
Mountain Dew does not feel like a golf watching drink. Like I'm drinking an Arnold Palmer and I'm watching it. That feels like a golf watching drink.
Later in the afternoon, it will there may be one cracked open, but I do have a pork butt that I will season tonight, let it sit overnight, and throw it on the grill tomorrow. So
he said butt, that was cool,
and that will sit on the grill for the duration of the late morning and throughout the afternoon, and then we'll have it at night.
He said butt.
I did have to tell my wife that the pork butt isn't the actual butt of the pig. So she was
hold
a
on,
little.
Wait. Can we get a little breaking news center? Bum, 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 bum. Wait, the pork butt is not the butt of the pig?
No, that is not the case.
What part of the butt? I mean, the follow up question is what part of pig is the pork butt, and why do they call it butt if it's not the butt?
I don't know why it's called the butt, but it's kind of up around like the shoulder and the front legs, like around that neck area. That's where the pork butt is. It is not the actual rear end of the pig. That is not the case.
Ramos, did you know that?
I did not know that. Now I do. That's a good information.
I didn't either. Gavin, did you know that?
I did not. No.
That is outstanding. Hold on. Dan just taught everybody something. I had no idea. Zero.
It helped.
Okay, so hockey playoffs. Hockey overtime is 3-on-3 now, not 4-on-4. That one, right? We've told people for years the Astros are in the NL, but the Brewers also used to be in the AL as well, right? And the Braves used to be in the Dodgers division. That was weird for the old NL West days, and we all remember all this stuff. But the pork butt not actually being the butt of the pig, not even being on the south end of a northbound
the wrong
pig.
Hemisphere.
I didn't even know. I should that is that like my mind is.
It reminds me of the thing where it's like Iceland is actually green and
Greenland is actually ice. Yeah, but that's the oxymoron. That's the you drive in a parkway and you park on a driveway. That's one of those things, right? And then, you know, Civil War is an oxymoron, as is military intelligence. Hey, oh, but this one is really kind of pertinent information. I had no idea. I'll spend the rest of my time Googling what a pork butt actually is. First, though, let's get to what the Fox
and says. Now.
When a train hits a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious of crossings. The signals are going. Don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train, stop. Trains Can't, brought to you by NHTSA. All right, so every day we try and play for you a snippet of a previous show, Fox Sports Radio or Fox Sports 1. This is Colin Cowherd explaining why he thinks the Niners are making a mistake if they take Mac Jones.
Say it out loud. NFC West. Here's your quarterbacks. Matt Stafford. Kyler Murray. Russell Wilson, Mac Jones, who couldn't beat out Tua, he has a B arm, maybe B+, not exceptional. He would also be the least athletic quarterback in his division. He is called unathletic, and he has 1 year, really, of starting. You're going to pass on Justin Fields at number 3 for Mac Jones. Justin Fields was better in high school. He's better in college. He's a better athlete. He's got a better arm. I mean, I'm going to tell you, this league, we bailed on Belichick after one losing season. Niners don't like Garoppolo. He's got a ceiling. Of all the quarterbacks here, who's got the ceiling? It's not Trey Lance. It's not Justin Fields. It's not Trevor Lawrence. There's one quarterback in this draft where you say, but he's got a ceiling. Isn't that why you're frustrated with Jimmy Garoppolo?
Doug Gottlieb show here on Fox Sports Radio. I understand what he's saying, and he's talking about a ceiling. I think some of it is, I've said this since the Super Bowl, so you guys can go back and track it, and Ramos was there, and Beyer was there as well, where I just, like, look, Garoppolo missed on some throws where it's just really hard to convince coaches if you miss in these big moments, and you miss in the way, like Emmanuel Sanders, that pass, ask an NFL guy, and they'll all say, not only was it overthrown, and did he miss a wide-open guy that could have won the Super Bowl, but it's supposed to be, if you miss, you're supposed to miss being underthrown, then there's PI. This, it reminds me a little bit of the NFL draft. People remember, he's like, well, Justin Fields was better in high school and in college and not better in the pros. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like Vince Young. Like Vince Young was a guy who was better in high school and in college, and he actually had a very good start to his pro career. And then, you know, he was at Cheesecake Factory every day. He spent like $1,200 a week or something at Cheesecake Factory. Got a shot there every day. Like that is just that's a strange one for me. That's a really strange one. I don't know what the holdup with Justin Fields is. There were times in which he didn't look like he had improved this year. And then you watch the national semifinal game and he was amazing. But that was against a college defense, not a pro defense. There's no reason to think that Mac Jones isn't an absolute savant and isn't crazy accurate. But sometimes we get into these talking points of what's really important. You know, what's really important? And how many times have we had people say, like, you know, it's really not that important that you have the biggest arm in the world. It's really not that important that you have the best 40 time in the world. What is your pocket awareness like? What's your athleticism in the pocket like? And if I find the right offense for you, can you succeed? On the surface, I would agree. But there has to be a reason that Kyle Shanahan, if he evaluates Mac Jones is a better fit for what he wants to do than Justin Fields, there's got to be a reason for it. Whether you see it or I see it, doesn't matter. It's not our job. It's his job. Can you get fired over it? Can it ruin? Yes. Yes. The perfect example of how missing on a quarterback can change the entire perception of what you're doing is look what's happened to the Chicago Bears. They have the same record as the Indianapolis Colts over the last 3 years. Same record. But they're viewed as an abject disaster, even though they're a double doink away from a divisional win and a playoff win. They've been in the playoffs two of the last 3 years. That's what the Fox say. What does the Fox say? All right, let's get back to this discussion. So, Ramos, I like what Beyer's talking about with the pork butt, which is not a butt, sitting around the house. I'd have to say, like, if I'm going to sit around the house and watch, the great thing about, I love Arnold Palmer's. It's my favorite drink. You guys know that. And so I feel even better about it when I'm sitting watching the Masters and drinking an Arnold Palmer. But this is like cranking up to the best time of the year, which is grilling season. And I cannot wait to grill something. I got to go get some sort of carcass. It may be roadkill, but I'm going to season it up and I'm going to cook it. Then I'll put some tinfoil around it. It's going to stay moist that way. That's what we're going to do.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.